driving along the post road late that early October night. Paul Davis was pretty sure the car driving erratically in front of him belonged to his colleague, Kenneth Hoffman. The ancient dark blue Volvo station wagon was a fixture around West Haven College, a cliché on wheels of what a stereotypical professor drove. It was just after 11, and Paul wondered whether Kenneth, always Kenneth, never Ken, knew his left taillight was cracked, white light bleeding through the red plastic lens. Hadn't he mentioned something the other day about someone backing into him in the faculty parking lot not leaving a note under the windshield wiper? A busted taillight was the kind of thing that undoubtedly would annoy Kenneth. The car's lack of back-end symmetry, the automotive equivalent of an unbalanced equation, would definitely irk Kenneth, a math and physics professor. The way the Volvo was straying toward the center line, then jerking suddenly back into its own lane, worried Paul that something might be wrong with Kenneth. Was he nodding off at the wheel, then waking up to find himself headed for the opposite shoulder? Was he coming home from some place where he'd had too much to drink? If Paul were a cop, he'd hit the lights, whoop the siren, pull him over. But Paul was not a cop, and Kenneth was not some random motorist. He was a colleague. No, more than that. Kenneth was a friend, a mentor. Paul didn't have a set of lights atop his car or a siren, but maybe he could somehow pull Kenneth over, get his attention, get him to stop long enough for Paul to make sure he was fit to drive, and if he wasn't, give him a lift home. It was the least Paul could do, even if Kenneth wasn't the close friend he once was. When Paul first arrived at West Haven, Kenneth had taken an almost fatherly interest in him. They'd discovered at a faculty meet and greet that they had a shared and not particularly cerebral interest. They loved 1950s science fiction movies. Forbidden Planet, Destination Moon, Earth versus the Flying Saucers, The Day the Earth Stood Still. The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, they agreed, was nothing short of a masterpiece. Once they'd bonded over the geekiest of subjects, Kenneth offered Paul a West Haven crash course. The politics of academia would come over time, but what a new guy really needed to know was how to get a good parking spot. Who was the person to connect with in payroll if they screwed up your monthly deposit? What day did you avoid the dining hall? Tuesday, as it turned out. Liver. Paul came to realize, over the coming years, he was something of an exception for Kenneth. The man was more likely to offer his orientation services to new female hires, and from what Paul heard, it was more intensive. There were a lot of sides to Kenneth, and Paul still wasn't sure he knew all of them. But whatever his misgivings about Kenneth, they weren't enough to let the man drive his station wagon into the ditch and kill himself. And it would be just himself, as far as Paul could see. There was no one in the passenger seat next to Kenneth. The car had traveled nearly a mile now without drifting into the other lane, so maybe, Paul thought, Kenneth had things under control. But there was an element of distraction to the man's driving. He'd be doing the speed limit, then the brake lights would flash, including the busted one, and the car would slow. But then it would pick up speed. A quarter mile later, it would slow again. Kenneth appeared to be making frequent glances to the right as though hunting for a house number. It was an odd area to be looking for when there were no houses. This stretch of the post road was almost entirely commercial. What was Kenneth up to exactly? Not that driving around Milford an hour before midnight had to mean someone was up to something. After all, Paul was out on the road too, and if he'd gone straight home after attending a student theatrical production at West Haven, he'd be there by now. But here he was, driving aimlessly, thinking about Charlotte. He'd invited her to come along. Although Paul was not involved in the production, several of his students were, and he felt obliged to be supportive. Charlotte, the real estate agent, begged off. She had a house to show that evening. And frankly, waiting while a prospective buyer checked the number of bedrooms held the promise of more excitement than waiting for Godot.